Hello, everybody, and welcome to Revive's Daily Briefing Live for Thursday, June 4th. This is our 30-minute review of the latest, most important information, research, advice for health system marketers and communicators dealing with COVID-19. My name is Josh Schoonover. I'm your guest host today, and I am joined by Chase Kleckner, our Senior Marketing Manager at Revive Health, the Cal Ripken of the broadcast, and our show's producer. Hey, Chase.
Hey, Josh. Always good to have you back on the show.
Likewise. Today, we're also joined by Melissa Weinberger, who is one of our directors of client experience. She develops a deep understanding of our clients' business goals and works her tail off to meet them. She spent the majority of her career developing strategic and data-driven marketing strategies for healthcare brands through effective digital media campaigns, website optimization, and brand management. Melissa, pleasure to have you here.
Glad to be here.
Also tag-teaming this call and broadcast is Ryan Miller. Ryan brings a wealth of expertise in driving projects forward. He's a senior member of our client experience and project management team and emphasizes in digital and technical engagements, including everything from managing complex timelines, seamless team coordination, and scaling new operational processes. Ryan, good to have you here.
Thank you, Josh. Thanks for giving me a reason not to wear sweatpants today.
So as with each show, we plan on covering the latest news on COVID-19, how it relates to marketing and communications, highlight some helpful resources, and share what we're seeing and hearing from professionals across the industry, as well as open up the floor to some questions. So if there's any questions that you have along the way, please enter them into the question queue in Zoom, and we'll try to get to as many of them as possible. Also along the way, feel free to use the chat function to chat with each other. Chase will also be posting some resources in there that go along with the conversation we're about to have. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts. Just search for Revive Health Daily Briefing Live. We'll be posting a recording at the end of the day. You can visit our website at www.thinkrevivehealth/COVID-19. For that, as well as an abundance of other content resources along the way. And speaking of those, Chase is going to post a resource that we have. We updated our Gospel of Growth book with a chapter specifically around COVID-19. So if you're familiar with that book and you want to hear how that the insights from that translate specifically to this moment, we encourage you to take a look at that. A couple of important notes. We emphasize this every time, and we will continue to do this every time, which is we are not COVID-19 health experts. So if what you're looking for is scientific or medical information or advice, we invite you to look at 1,000 other podcasts that may do that, but that is not this one. But what we do have are lots of opinions and perspectives on how we tell stories, how we communicate, and how we interact with consumers now through this crisis and beyond. That said, everyone's situation is different, your system, your community, the people you serve. And so obviously you're going to make the decisions, despite what we say here, that are best for your organization. So let's begin, as we do every time, where we're going to look at the latest counts, both in terms of confirmed infections as well as deaths. Globally, we have passed the 6.5 million mark. We're at in terms of the total case count, 6,542,851 cases. I'll just note that I was the guest host 2 days ago, and we've gone up by nearly 300,000 cases since then, just in terms of confirmed cases. And in terms of the death count, 386,581. Domestically, so bringing this home, the count is at 1,852,561, and we have exceeded 107,000 deaths since this all began just a few months ago. We get all of this information from Johns Hopkins dashboard. So with that, we want to point to just a couple of articles that are relevant to both the time today and start to nod into the conversation we're going to have. But it was published on CNN and other outlets that Dr. Anthony Fauci said that by the end of this year, we would have roughly 100 million doses of the COVID-19 vaccine. And then getting into 2021, ramping that up to several hundred. And one, I think that if that's true, fantastic, right? I think we're all looking for this, and there's been a lot of information and conversation around when a vaccine will be available. I know a lot of people are looking to that. So hopefully that is true. But what it also did is it reminded me of an article I read in The Atlantic, I believe it was last week, that talked about even before the vaccine is available, conspiracy theories have already started to populate, whether that is about the people that were like patient zero for the trials, or whether that is about what goes into it. And there's other elements of, you know, how do you square the circle when we talk about Operation Warp Speed and what that means for a rigorous patient trial to get to something that's safe. It also comes, you know, in conversations around treatment and around what we're doing with plasma and what about antibody tests. So it just is another development of which we're going to encounter many along the way that one can provide a glimpse of what's to come, but two opens the door for a lot of information, misinformation, and sharing. And so I think it just really nails the point that, you know, as we think about healthcare consumers and who they trust most and how often they want to be communicated with and how they want to be communicated with, that is health systems. Those are the local healthcare experts. And so as more information comes available on vaccines and treatments and tests, that ups the ante on how frequently and in what ways we're communicating with people. So I know we're probably preaching to the choir for the people that are on this call, but it just raises the point that we ever more vigilance around that. And this isn't a matter of saying something one or two or three times. It is clearly consistently developing the messages that folks need. So with that, we're going to dig into the meat of the content today. And so for anyone that has been following these daily briefings, or our thought leadership in general, I know you've heard us talk a lot about rapid recovery. So how do health systems coming out of a sustained pause on services and procedures, how do they ramp up volumes quickly? How do they re-engage and build trust in consumers quickly? And so while you've heard us talk a lot about that intellectually and theoretically, we've also been doing work on the front lines with health systems across the country, East Coast, West Coast, community hospitals to prominent organizations, actually starting to do this work. So seeing this practically applied. And so what we want to give folks today on this briefing is a little bit of a peek behind the curtain to share some insights that we're seeing practically in terms of what health systems are thinking about, what they're wrestling with, how they're prioritizing things, what things they think they do particularly well, what areas they need help with. And I suspect that that will resonate with a number of you on this call. So this is when we bring Ryan and Melissa's expertise in. They've both been on the front lines of doing this. And so I open the floor up to the two of you with this question, which is, having worked on these engagements and working very closely with the decision makers on the health system side, can you just at a high level talk about, you know, what are some of the takeaways that you see or observations that you've made in terms of what health systems are thinking about and wrestling with?
Yeah.
I'll go to Melissa first.
Good, because I was starting. I think thinking back to the article that you referenced earlier, I think a lot of our health systems are asking themselves, who is the new consumer now for them? Who are these patients now versus what they knew about them before? It's completely changed. I think they're having to address issues they've never had to address before. And so there's a understanding of the gap in knowledge of what these consumers and their potential patients are wanting from their health systems, are wanting from their providers and their doctors. And I think there is a slight overwhelming feeling with that. But I think it's a good question to ask. And I think it leads to the work that needs to be done in order to start ramping up that volume again.
Ryan, I throw the same question to you.
Yeah, a few things really. I mean, one of the things is that we're seeing many health systems often have varying degrees of aggressive plans to get back to full capacity across facilities, but marketing teams often lack a clear direction from leadership on prioritization outside of sheer operational readiness. Are we ready to open up? Cool, let's get these back to capacity as fast as possible. So as marketers, how are we prioritizing our efforts, our marketing efforts towards different service lines, procedures, And how are we targeting those marketing efforts to after those decisions are made as a response? Another thing being like wrestling with how to maximize the marketing efforts while oftentimes having limitations with our MarTech stack, our capabilities there. The idea of being centralized versus decentralized when it comes to communication and messaging, I think that's a big thing. Different health systems, depending on their history, have different sort of at different places with that. But that's certainly something where we want to make sure across health systems, while different facilities may have different situations, that we're having a centralized plan for communication and messaging. And then in general, and I think this is jumping the gun a little bit, but I think it is fascinating that we've seen so much overlap in areas with our where our clients need most help with.
So let's talk about that for a second, Ryan. You talked about priorities and areas of focus. What are we seeing from health systems in terms of like what they are zeroing in on as kind of the first order of business as they go about trying to rapidly recover?
Yeah, so it's fascinating. Just to give the listeners a little bit of insight into how we kind of structure our rapid recovery projects for our clients. At Revive Health, we've developed about 20 or so components or areas of focus that are crucial to rapid recovery. And those have been sort of organized into five different initiatives. So things like patient retention, patient acquisition, staff engagement, reputation assessment, things like that. And we don't ask our clients to necessarily pick which area of those initiatives, but we do work with them on narrowing in six or so of those components that are within each of those initiatives, where to focus. And the interesting thing that we've seen is that across the board from our clients that we've done this for, a lot of times that they're focusing on and needing the most help with very similar components. So those being, consumer targeting and subsequently personalized marketing, messaging platforms, personalized content plans, clinician to patient engagement, and then proactive telehealth, which, has been a huge thing. And we've seen a huge expansion of that due to COVID. So I think those areas, and it's interesting that that's where we're seeing people focus versus things like staff engagement, where, oftentimes we've heard that people have had, hey, we're doing that. We have that covered, or we've done that. Or reputation assessment, where unless you have something really negative that's happened with your health system, we've actually generally seen a boost in reputation across since COVID took place with health systems and healthcare workers specifically.
Okay. It is interesting that you say, despite the diversity of these systems in terms of where they're located geographically or the set of services that they provide or the size of the organization, that they are all starting to like rally around or at least focus on a few similar things, which yeah. I think is quite telling. Melissa, you mentioned understanding the consumer and we're learning a bit more about them. Can you just talk a little bit about that and what is it that we're learning and why does that matter?
Sure. So there are really two things that seem to stand out for our clients when understanding how consumers are wanting information differently than they might have before. So the first is the detail of the information that they're wanting around COVID, around how you're keeping them safe. The second is the frequency at which they want to hear it. So from our own research that we've done, we're seeing this information crave, but more specifically that detail. So it's the question of how are you going to keep me safe cannot be answered in a few sentences. It cannot even be answered in one landing page. It's going to take a lot more to really make that assurance clear to our consumers, to people coming in to know if I'm getting a mammogram screening, what is going to happen when I walk in the door? What is going to make me feel comfortable about sitting in this seat? How many times are surfaces cleaned? How are you keeping people socially distanced? All of those questions need to be considered for our consumers to start to feel safe when they're coming in. And I think it was shocking for a couple of our clients to really see the second point there around the frequency at which we're seeing consumers want this information. We even had one client that joked about their email engagement being down significantly right before COVID hit. And they were like, so now consumers want to hear from us twice a week. that's almost unfathomable to think about. But in the instance that we're living in now, our consumers are being bombarded with information left and right. But the most important thing for them is to understand, if I need to seek care, how can I feel safe coming in? And what are you going to do about it to make sure that I feel safe?
So knowing a bit more about the consumers, right? And knowing where the areas of focus are that Ryan, you talked about, personalized marketing, personalized communication, personalized content programs. Can you speak a little bit about why that seems to be the thing that people are zeroing in on? So Melissa talked about knowing our consumers, right? And what they need to know. The second is, how do we deliver that to them? So I open that question to you.
Yeah, and that's a great question. So, I mean, first off, what we're talking about here, right, is important for all marketing. And I don't think that's a surprise. Retail, other industries excel at this personalized marketing and personalized communication. But when we specifically look at patient retention during COVID, personalized, transparent, and frequent communication, as Melissa mentioned, is even more vital. Some of the stuff that we've seen to date from our clients' materials that they provided us is that the reopening plans and documentation, understandably, are focused on clinical prioritization, operational readiness, but there's often little or no inclusion of critical patient communications. And that could be from traditional ways that people have been doing things, where our focus is, and that's a very, you know, healthcare thing. So we have these people that have fears, questions, concerns about coming back to the hospital. Oftentimes they don't know when they'll be rescheduled, and people are in different situations, which makes mass emails and communication less effective. These are people that we need to work really hard for at retaining and making sure we don't lose. People who have non-life-threatening procedures have been pushed out very significantly. In terms of being equipped, we've seen variances. So some health systems are more advanced on this than others. But oftentimes a holdup is around, limitations when it comes to consumer targeting. Ability to gather that data and to target consumers, which then limits the ability for personalized marketing. We need consumer targeting to be able to personalize our marketing and know who we're targeting. And even if you were able to go deep into consumer targeting, we're seeing execution issues with either recent adoptions of CRMs, not working with a sophisticated CRM, and limited efforts around or ability around automated marketing. So with all of those, it's like, hey, we know this should be a focus, but we maybe don't always have a strategy for how we want to communicate, and then we also don't always have the resources to do that communication in a personalized way.
You know, it's interesting that you bring that up. And Melissa, I know you've touched on this a bit too, which is, so there's one thing of, like, we talk about personalized marketing or personalized content, and it's not so binary where something is either personalized or it is not, right? So you mentioned how not all health systems have the same kind of tech stack. So maybe they don't employ a CRM. Maybe they don't even have a really strong or well-developed mailing list or emailing list or emailing program. All of those things are certainly things you'd want to layer into your offering so that you can build towards a more personalized marketing apparatus or more personalized content. But there's also the point of, we can also put a lot, if you don't have all those things, right? Or you only have some of those things, there's still ways to make content or make messages more personally relevant to people, right? So it's not you've arrived at personalized marketing, but anything that gets us closer, that allows us to speak more directly to a group of people, if it's not an individual, is also something that we'd encourage health systems to think about, which is, it's not an all or none proposition, right? There's ways that we can think about even some of the persona work or segmentation that allows us to start to tailor messages more, but certainly having the tech apparatus behind it gets us even closer to that in terms of the delivery of that content.
Yeah, absolutely.
So In terms of, Ryan, you talked about messages. We've talked about what we know about people. We've talked about the delivery systems in this, but messages we're finding really, really matter. Melissa, you started talking a little bit about this, about safety and what people think they're going to experience. But can you talk a little bit about, like, practically, what are some of the messages that people are asking about? What are the things that we are recommending based on what we're learning about systems and the work we're doing?
Yeah, so I think it's good to have in the back of our mind, most of our clients now are realizing that their pent-up demand is not going to sustain them. And so what that means is they really have to identify what are those areas of folks who are in the maybe category, are considering getting care. Maybe they haven't, they've been diagnosed, but they haven't sought treatment yet. And having that in our minds, I think, helps our clients have that burden that much more to solve this question. And what we've seen in terms of the types of messages is not forgetting about who is delivering those messages. So of course, as the health system, we have the responsibility to reach out to our patients, but I think it's been shown even more so in our research. And actually there was a great Q&A discussion from one of our colleagues, Sasha, with Advisory Board that really highlights this well. But that also we can't forget about our doctors and that they are the first line of defense and they are the ones directly having conversations with our patients. And so just because some of our patients may be thinking about hesitations, we can't forget that our doctors are also having to make that call. And so how are we supporting them? What are we doing to ensure that they have the right information, that they have, we're not telling them what to say, we're not telling them how to have communications with their patients, but we're keeping them informed. And we're not leaving them off of our overarching plan, which I think we're seeing across the board from some of our clients that although they may have an overarching communication plan, that they're kind of leaving off that other element. Of physicians who are really your biggest advocates and are the ones directly talking to patients and that we know from our research that patients are wanting to hear from and are using to rely on as their main source. So I think it's just important from what we've seen that we're looking at how we incorporate physician relations into our work and how we're thinking about supporting them when they're having to have these tough conversations with their patients.
Yeah. So we're gonna stick with you, Melissa. So stay with me here. But we've talked about learning a lot about consumers, but in our interactions with systems, we're also seeing they're learning a lot about themselves, right? There's a lot of moving parts and pieces as different services are being ramped up, certain other ones are not. And it just kind of talks about the need for operations and strategy and marketing communications and clinical to all be at least in somewhat coordination with each other. So can you talk a little bit about what we're seeing about the importance of cross-functional alignment?
Yeah, so I think this is something that we have always talked about wanting to have as health system marketers. We've always wanted to have this alignment and have a seat at the table and ensure that we are in sync with all of the varying elements that it takes to run a health system or a hospital. I think it is now ever more present that we cannot afford to not have that happen. We're seeing that our clients are now thinking about, well, they're now faced with the fact that operational shifts are inevitable. We are going to continue to have some varying degree of, well, there might be spikes happening, so we need to pull back on these services, or maybe our scheduling service isn't able to handle the volume that they're getting now. We need to be, as marketers, so aware and so close with having a pulse on how all of these channels into our system are flowing so that we can adequately adjust how we are marketing and how we are communicating with patients. Because the last thing that we wanna do is not have that one conversation with a clinical leader and then start driving patients towards them that they weren't ready to have. And I think what's been interesting is you're starting to see marketers be a part of daily standups and conversations where they might not have been before. because they now need to be where they might have had a good relationship with a clinical leader, but now they're really having to have that daily conversation with them. They're also having to understand from their, if they have central scheduling, how is that operation going, and what are those obstacles that we need to be aware of so that maybe we can, you know, point people to online scheduling? Is it less about taking a phone call and more about pointing them somewhere else? So I think it's been interesting just to see the need that has always been there, but even more so now, like this is the time that it has to happen.
So Ryan, in the closing minutes, I'm gonna throw the final question to you, which is, you know, health systems in general, but certainly on the marketing communication side, have always, or more recently are talking about how do they modernize either their technology or their approaches, or how do they do more with what they have? And we look at this moment, which kind of resets the table in terms of priorities and thinking, and it kind of can serve as a forcing function for systems to really reevaluate, you know, where they're spending their time and energy and dollars. So tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, so, I mean, in general, with the forcing function, what we're talking about here is, you know, with the COVID-19 crisis, you know, for the horrible human toll and significant disruption it's caused, it's also led to some positive effects. You know, more people are reporting spending more quality time with their family, for example. In healthcare, we've seen a dramatic adoption of telehealth, which is more convenient, less expensive, and really leads to overall better clinical care. And that's something I think that was on a lot of health systems' radars to, you know, increasing, but, you know, this has just kind of expedited that. So for health system marketing teams, there's the potential for that same forcing function effect related to critical changes that we seek. So similar to how COVID has exposed many of the flaws in our country's health system, it has also exposed the flaws and shortcomings of healthcare marketing capabilities. So most healthcare marketers already, you know, pretty much know this, but the exposure can be leveraged to accelerate improvements. So we talked about telehealth adoption as a great example. Increase in MarTech capabilities and tools. So if you either don't have a CRM or, you know, are just adopting one, like being able to improve that. Personalized marketing, consumer targeting, improving those efforts. Smarter service line prioritization. You know, some of the things that have been holding us back before, but we can use now leadership's call to really leave no stone unturned and get capacity back up and you know, use this as, well, to get to where we need to, we need the marketing tools to reflect that. And so we can use it as a rationale for quickly and significantly accelerating change in the marketing approach, structure, et cetera. So, you know, we can use this to advantage in something that, you know, we've seen across the board really, and we've seen an improvement and everyone's stepping up to the plate. You know, let's see what we can do with this.
Well, I can't thank you both enough for spending some time here today and sharing a little bit about what you're seeing as you work directly with health systems. So thank you both for spending time with us today.
Yeah, thank you, Josh. Thanks, Chase.
All right. That is a wrap for the show today. As always, please let us know if there's anything else you'd like us to cover in future episodes. Certainly, we're going to continue to do this. Melissa and Ryan, thank you so much for joining us. And Chase, as always, keep the streak going. Tomorrow, we have Joanne Thornton, the president of Revive, as our guest host, and she's going to be talking with Shannon Hooper, our chief growth officer, specifically about what Ryan just mentioned, which is, you know, virtual sites of care, what broad trends we're seeing, as well as what are the regulatory shifts and implications to that, especially for longer term system or service line marketing. As always, remember to visit www.thinkrevivehealth.com/COVID-19 for today, the recording of today's episode, as well as all of our content related to the COVID-19 crisis. Again, you can subscribe to iTunes, and please let other people know about this if you're finding this content valuable. And to all of you out there, hang in there. You're doing amazing work. Our work has never been more important than this. The skills that you bring, the information that you're bringing, it matters. And so we just want to make sure that We continue the encouragement because we don't get to do this and consumers don't get the information without you. We'll be back tomorrow and every weekday until this all passes. So thanks again, and we will talk to you later.